سخنران امشب جلسه تهران که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی‌های گمنام در تهران است، خانم جانت با حاشیه 25 سال از کشور آمریکا می‌باشند و موضوع امشب قدم هفتم هستش. جلسه در اختیار شماست، بفرمایید.
Dear Janet, we can start.
Thank you. I'm Janet. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank you for the honor and privilege to speak with all of you today and to share my story and my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous.
من جنت یک الکلی هستم و خیلی ممنونم و باعث افتخار منه که امروز داستانم رو با شما مشارکت بکنم.
You know, I don't know why I'm one of the people inflicted with alcoholism. I've heard the experts say 1 out of 10 of us has this spiritual malady, and I'm one of them. And I don't know why.
من نمیدونم چرا من جز اون دسته‌ای هستم که این بیماری رو دارم، ولی پزشکا میگن هر یک نفر از 10 نفر این بیماری روحانی رو داره و منم یکی از اونام. I'm one of them too.
I knew something was terribly wrong with me. My earliest memories. I didn't want to be alive when I was 5. I didn't know what was wrong with me for a very long time. And I'm grateful to know what's wrong with me today.
و من میدونستم یه چیزی در من ایراد داره، ولی نمیدونستم چیه. و حتی وقتی 5 سالم بود میدونستم که نمیخوام زندگی کنم، ولی نمیدونستم دلیلش چیه. ولی خیلی الان خوشحال و سپاسگزارم که حداقل میدونم دلیلش چیه.
I wasn't happy about it at first. I couldn't think of anything worse than the thought or the idea that I could never drink again. I thought I would rather die than have to stop drinking.
من اولش اصلا خوشحال نبودم و این ایده که من دیگه هرگز قادر نخواهم بود مشروب بخورم واقعا برام خیلی غیر قابل قبول بود و ترجیح میدادم بمیرم تا اینی که دیگه مشروب نتونم بخورم.
And now it turns out that it's the best thing that has ever happened to me. When I would hear people say they were grateful to be an alcoholic, I thought they were crazy. And now I found out that it's a blessing.
و الان فهمیدم که این بهترین چیزی بوده که برای من اتفاق افتاد. من اوایل فکر میکردم کسانی که میگن ما شوک گذاریم که یک الکلی هستیم اونا دیوونه هستن، ولی الان واقعا فهمیدم که این یک موهبته.
As far as my drinking goes, I took my first drink. I don't remember. I was a little kid. I would take drinks from mostly men that were drinking, and I would sneak drinks. And my first time I was ever drunk, I was 9 years old.
و من دقیقا یادم نمیاد اولین باری که مشروب خوردم کی بود. فقط میدونم از مردایی که مشروب میخوردن من مشروبشون رو دزدکی میخوردم و اولین باری که مست کردم 9 سالم بود.
And I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved it. It made me feel free and calm and peaceful and happy and powerful. It made me feel powerful.
And من عاشقش شدم به خاطر اینکه احساس آزادی، آرامش، راحتی، شادی و قدرتمندی به من میداد.
I don't remember it took away the pain or the fear that I was experiencing. My father was angry and scary. And alcohol did not fix anything from that standpoint, but it was so powerful and exhilarating that it was a distraction. It was a distraction for me. It was big, and it was all encompassing.
و این جور نبودش که تمام ترس و دردی که داشتم رو عربه خود ازم بگیره، به خاطر اینکه پدر من خیلی ترسناک بود و باعث ترس و درد در من میشد، ولی با الکل انقدر قدرت من بود که باعث شد من حواسم به جهت دیگه ای پرت بشه و حواس منو پرت میکرد به چیز دیگه ای.
And from that time on, anytime I couldn't get it all the time. If I couldn't get it, I was depressed. I was maladjusted. I couldn't have relationships with people, but I was depressed. And but I looked for it every chance I had, and I was more or less completely insanely drunk every time I drank. I never just had one drink or enjoyed the taste.
من همش دائم دسترسی به مشروب نداشتم و برای همین اون موقعی که دسترسی نداشتم افسرده و حالم خراب بود و نمیتونستم با آدم ها ارتباط مناسبی داشته باشم. بنابراین هر وقتی که مشروب گیرم میومد واقعا مست میکردم و اینجوری نبود که واقعا یکی دوتا گیلاس بخورم.
My favorite part about drinking actually was just oblivion, was passing out. Even now, my favorite part of life is that minute right before I fall asleep, when there's nothing else, and then it's nothing. That I do still love to be checked out completely.
و من اون چی که تو مشروب خوردن عاشقش بودم اون زمانی بود که کاملا همه چی رو فراموش می‌کردم و بیهوش می‌شدم. الانم اون چیزی که عاشقشم اون چند دقیقه قبل از اینی که خوابم ببره و همه چی رو، یعنی هیچ چی دیگه وجود نداره.
So it follows that I don't have to share all the adventures, but it follows that if I'm checked out and I'm drunk and there is something other than this running the show and being and existing, I would black out, and I never knew. I never came out of a blackout being kind and helpful to anybody. Anytime I came out of a blackout, I had been destructive, and I had been vicious and mean, or I had been reckless and dangerous. I never came out of a blackout doing something pleasant.
So when you were drunk, I didn't get this part that there was something else running.
There was something out of control. Like when I was drunk, there was just, I was doing things, but I was blacked out. I don't remember any of it.
وقتی که ایشون مشروب می‌خوردن کاملاً مست می‌کردن و سیاه مست می‌کردن و هیچی دیگه یادشون نمی‌اومد. چیز دیگری بود که در اصلش زندگی رو اداره می‌کرد و هیچ وقت نبود که وقتی از اون سیاه مستی ها در میان واقعاً بدجنس و بد اخلاق و بی‌پروا و حتی خطرناک نباشن بعد از اون سیاه مستی.
But I wasn't drunk all the time. I worked, and I was a hard worker. I was a good worker. I was very fearful, and so I would work hard. And but one of the things that would sustain me is knowing that I would have a drink at the end of the day, and I would be drunk. And I could do anything, even if I knew a drink was waiting for me on the other end. It empowered me even when I was sober.
و اینی که من همیشه مست نبودم، من خوب کار میکردم و سخت کار میکردم، و اونی که تو فکرم بود که بعد از ساعتهای زیاد کاری میتونم مشروب بخورم به من اون قدرت رو میداد که اون ساعتها رو کار بکنم، و حتی تو اون ساعتها فکر مشروب به هم قدرت و توانایی میداد.
I would set out to sometimes drink nicely, and I would tell myself I'm just going to go and have a drink, and the next thing I know, the next day I was 5 towns over with no way to get home, and there were no cell phones. I couldn't call people to come and get me, and I would just be I would just have to rely upon the strangers to try and help me find my way home, and that was a normal day for me to happen fairly frequently.
و اینی که ممکن بود من مشروب بخورم و یهو فرداش از یه شهر دیگه سر در بیارم و بعد حتی تلفن نداشته باشم که زنگ بزنم بگم من کجا هستم و بیاید منو ببرید، و این اتفاق به طور مرتب برای من می افتاد.
So I knew intuitively that if I had just one drink, that there would be more. If I had something important to do, whether it be for work or to visit the people that were watching me for my drinking, I would not drink at all. I knew that something happened once I took one drink that I would keep going and it wouldn't stop. I did not know that's one of the definitions of alcoholism right there.
من میدونستم که اگه من یه دونه مشروب بخورم همونجا متوقف نمیشه و همینجور ادامه پیدا میکنه. برای همین اگه یه کار مهم میداشتم یا میدونستم اون آدمایی که دارن منو کنترل میکنن قرار ملاقات کنم، اون یه دونه لیوانو نمیخوردم. اون موقع نمیدونستم اون چیه، ولی میدونم الان نمیدونستم که این یکی از تعریف های الکلی بودنه.
So despite going to jail a couple of times and destroying relationships, there was an illusion that I somehow was in control of this thing because I had a job and I had a house and I had a car. So there was this illusion that somehow I was managing things okay. Not perfectly, but okay.
با اینی که من به زندان چند بار رفتم و روابط زیادی رو خراب کردم، ولی یک توهمی که داشتم این بود که چون من هنوز کار دارم و خونه دارم و ماشین دارم، تقریبا من دارم اوضاعمو میگذرونم و اوکی ام.
And although I was terribly unhappy and terribly very depressed and confused and fearful. Let me give you an example of how my fear manifested. I felt darkness all around me. And if I went to go wash my face in the sink, I couldn't close my eyes. If I closed my eyes, I felt dark spirits coming in and I was terrified. That's what it was like for me.
من واقعا خیلی غمگین بودم، افسرده بودم، گیج بودم، پر از ترس بودم، و ترس من به این حد بود که انگار دور من یک عالمه سیاهیه و حتی اگه من میخوام برم صورتم رو بشورم، اگه یه لحظه چشام ببندم، این روح‌های تاریک میخوان وارد من بشن و من میترسیدم حتی یک لحظه چشما ببندم.
If I had ever described that to somebody, they would probably put me in a hospital or a mental institution. I would be locked up. But I would put on some makeup and I would go out there and try to be normal.
من اگه این افکارم رو میگفتم من رو احتمالا مینداختن توی دیوانگان زنجیری تو بیمارستان، ولی من اون موقع آرایشم رو میکردم و میرفتم بیرون و سعی میکردم که به نظر نرمال برسم. Same like me.
And now that I am sober, I don't get soap in my eyes when I wash my face anymore because I can close my eyes. And when I close my eyes now, there's just calm and there's just quiet and there's just peace because of Alcoholics Anonymous.
و الان من دیگه نمیترسم از اینکه چشمامو ببندم، به خاطر اینکه وقتی چشمامو میبندم فقط درونم آرامش، امنیت، احساس خوبه به خاطر الکلیای گمنام.
I didn't know that was alcoholism along with a lot of other things that I didn't know. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know why. But as it turns out, the things I would hear, I was always hearing noises, and I was always, and if I closed my eyes, I saw scary images. I don't have that anymore.
من نمیدونم چرا من به الکلی گمنام اومدم یا بیماری الکلیزم چی بود، فقط من میدونم که من همیشه پر از سر صدا بود کنار گوشم توی سرم و اگه چشامو میبستم چیزای وحشتناک میدیدم و دیگه من اونا رو ندارم.
And the only thing I did in Alcoholics Anonymous was I paid attention to the triangle. And on one side of the triangle was fellowship and was coming to these meetings and showing up and finding them. And then the other side of the triangle was service. And it's thinking about other people and what I can do for somebody else. You could say maybe forgetting about myself. As sick as I was, I would pay attention to the service, and then down below is my recovery, and those are the 12 steps. That's my Alcoholics Anonymous.
من سعی کردم تمرکزمو بذارم روی این مثلث الکلی‌های گمنام که یکیش راجب انجمنه و جلسات، که من جلسات رو پیدا کنم، به جلسات برم و اونجا حاضر باشم. یک پایه دیگرش در مورد خدمته که من به فکر دیگران باشم و ببینم چیکار میتونم در روز برای یه آدم دیگه بکنم و دائم متمرکز و به فکر خودم نباشم، و پایه دیگرش هم بهبودیه که 12 قدمه و این برای من الکلی‌های گمنامه.
I was, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought alcohol was the least of my worries. I would think to myself, you don't understand. There's something really, really wrong with me. Deep, deep down, there's something really wrong with me, and alcohol is the least of my worries.
من موقعی که اومدم به الکلی گمنام میدونستم که الکل کمترین مشکلات منه و یک مشکل خیلی اساسی درون من وجود داره که نمیدونستم چیه.
I did find out that that was true. Because once I didn't have an alcohol problem, as it turns out, I had a living problem. And if I had a drinking problem, I would just stop drinking like everybody told me to, and everything would have been okay. But when I stopped drinking, everything fell apart and I lost my mind.
و بعدم فهمیدم که اون چیزی که فکر میکردم درست بود، به خاطر اینه که اگه من مشکلی با مشروب خوردن داشتم، وقتی مشروب نمیخوردم باید مشکلات من حل میشد، ولی من مشکل من مشکل با زندگی کردن بود و وقتی که من مشروب رو گذاشتم کنار تقریبا دیگه داشتم دیوانه می شدم.
And thankfully I heard when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous that that's precisely what Alcoholics Anonymous is. We come, we don't drink, and we work this triangle, we work these 12 steps, we work the with our sponsor with everything we have.
و خدا رو شکر که بعدم فهمیدم مثلا الکلی های گمنام دقیقا برای همینه که من بیام بر روی این مثلث کار بکنم و با راهنمام با هر اون چی که در توانمه این قدم ها خدمات و کارهایی که لازمه رو انجام بدم.
And I didn't stop drinking when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I had to come and go and come and go. But, and I wasn't sincere about it. I didn't want to be sober. I didn't want to give up alcohol.
و اولین باری که من اومدم به AA من پاک نشدم. هی می اومدم و می رفتم و واقعا راجبش صداقتم نداشتم چون نمیخواستم الکل رو واقعا ترک بکنم.
But here's the awesome part. Here's the best part about AA is it works even if you're not sincere about it. Even if you don't want it, it works anyway. You just have to do it. You just have to follow the steps and do it. That's what happened to me.
و این چیز خارق‌العاده راجبه AA اینه که اون کار میکنه. حتی اگه شما خیلی هم دلتون نخواد کار کنید. حتی اگه خیلی هم واقعا مشتاق و صادق نباشید. اون براتون کار میکنه اگه کار بکنید. و این اتفاق برای من افتاد.
So I would have to say, for me to have gotten sober, I would have to say a couple of the most important parts was that I was willing and I had an open mind. I was willing and I had an open mind. And I took action.
و اون چیزی که برای من اتفاق افتاد این بود که من یه مقدار تمایل داشتم و ذهن بازی داشتم و یه سری کارا رو کردم و این فقط تنها کاری بود که من کردم.
And I was a bad drunk. I would drink mouthwash and cold medicine and anything. I didn't care what it was. I was a trash can. I would take anything that came across, anything that made me feel, anything that just shut life out, shut it down.
و اینی که من یک مشروب خوره خیلی بدی بودم. یعنی ممکن بود دهانشویه بخورم, هر دارویی که توش الکل داره بخورم, الکل پزشکی بخورم, مثل یه سطل آشغال. هر چیزی که فقط این زنده بودن و صدای زندگی رو خفه بکنه.
I did find out that there was plenty wrong with me once the fog cleared. And that took a long time. For maybe 1 or 2 years. I still had some hearing. I would still hear things that weren't there, and I was still very uncomfortable and depressed for a while. But I had nowhere else to go. So again, I was willing, and I had an open mind, and thank God I had nowhere else to go for a while until it worked.
و اینی که من تو یکی دو سال اول خیلی حال بدی داشتم و یه جوری تا زمان برد تا من این غبار از روی سرم بره کنار و خیلی تو پوست خودم واقعا راحت نبودم و خیلی چیزایی میشنیدم که وجود نداشت, توهمات دیداری و شنیداری داشتم و فقط اینه که جایی نداشتم به جز اینجا برم با وجود همه این ناراحتی ها. برای همین تمایل داشتم و یه مقدار ذهن باز داشتم و خدا رو شکر که جایی نداشتم برم تا اینی که شروع کرد برنامه برام کار کردن.
But something happens with two alcoholics working together or a group of alcoholics talking. We know each other. I know you. You know me. It doesn't matter
It doesn't even matter if we speak the same language. I already know you. I already know what it's like. There's nothing you could say that would shock me. I'm not going to explain some of the, we share in a general way in meetings, but there's nothing you could say to me that would shock me about things we've done, where we've been, and the way we lived.
و یک معجزه‌ای تو ارتباط دو تا الکلی وقتی با هم حرف میزنن یا یک گروه الکلی که با هم حرف میزنن وجود داره و به خاطر اینی که ما همدیگر رو میشناسیم، ما همدیگر رو درک میکنیم، هیچ چیزی نیست که شما بخوای بگی و من بی دفعه شوکه بشم. ما همه چیز راجع به همدیگه میدونیم و درک میکنیم و حتی اگه زبانمون هم با هم فرق باشه من همچنان شما رو میشناسم.
But what is life like now? I guess I have peace now. It doesn't mean that life is perfect. It doesn't mean that everything is just the way I want it and that there's no heartbreak and devastation that I've seen or experienced in my life or my family. That's part of life.
بنابراین من الان آرامش دارم، حالا اونجوری که زندگیم الان هست، ولی این معنیش این نیستش که همه چیز تو زندگی من بی نظیره و هرچی که میخوام دارم و هیچ قلبم شکسته نشده یا هیچ ناراحتی و غمی وجود نداره.
But what I have now is a solution. I have a solution that works under all conditions. Under all conditions. Every single one. And it doesn't matter what it is. And that, knowing that now, experiencing that now, firsthand, there's no calamity that this program doesn't work with. And that fact alone has taken away a lot of my fears. That this program works no matter what.
و اینی که فرقی که الان کرده اینه که من یک راه حلی دارم که در هر شرایطی با هر مسئله‌ای که پیش بیاد کار میکنه و دونستن این و تجربه کردن این که هیچ بحران و بدبختی وجود نداره که این برنامه نتونه براش کار بکنه، همین باعث آرامش من میشه و یک عالمه از ترس‌های من رو برطرف میکنه.
Yeah, I don't know why some tragedies strike some of us or why some of us live in some terrible situations. That's not for me, I suppose. But that brings me to step 7, actually.
من نمیدونم که چرا بعضی از ماها یه سری بحران‌های شدیدی رو می‌گذرونیم یا اتفاقای بدی برامون میافته، ولی میدونم که بعضی از اونا ما رو میاره به قدم 7.
So here comes step 7. We've done all the other steps. We've admitted we're powerless over alcohol. Our lives are unmanageable. We've written all of our secrets down. We've said them to somebody else, to another human being, and to God. We've done all the work leading up to step 7. And then there's step 7. The book says it separates the men from the boys.
و ما تا اینجا که برسیم به قدم 7 پذیرفتیم که در مقابل الکل بی قدرتیم، زندگیمون غیر قابل اداره است، تمام داستان زندگی و تمام رازهامون رو با یه نفر دیگه گفتیم و همه کار رو انجام دادیم تا اینی که رسیدیم به قدم 7 و اینجا اونجاییه که مردها رو از پسرها جدا میکنه.
And if we were to be truly happy, if we were to be comfortable, we had to do step 7. That is the answer to the rest of it. Without step 7, there's no way to have long-term sobriety or to have a life worth living.
و اگر که ما واقعا میخوایم شاد باشیم و زندگی راحتی داشته باشیم، ما باید قدم 7 رو انجام بدیم، وگرنه ما نمیتونیم یک زندگی راحت و یک زندگی که ارزش زندگی کردن داشته باشه رو داشته باشیم.
Step 7 is asking God to remove our defects of character or our personality flaws. I don't think any of us will argue that we have some major defects and personality flaws that have come into play.
تو قدم 7 ما از خدا میخوایم که این نواقص شخصیتی ما رو و ایرادهامون رو ازمون بگیره و فکر میکنم هیچ کدوم از ماها سر این موضوع با هم دیگه یعنی قبول داریم هممون که ما یه سری نواقص شخصیتی داریم.
In 22 years, I've uncovered a lot of them. I'll tell you about one that causes a lot of pain, a lot of, it's the big one, if you will. And it's my thoughts, it's my thinking, it's my mind.
So it's in 22 years of sobriety.
Yeah.
و در 22 سال پاکی من یک عالمه از اونا رو شناسایی کردم و ازش پرده برداری کردم. یعنی دیدمشون. و یکی از اونا رو که میخوام بگم که خیلی برای من درد ایجاد میکرد، ذهن من و طرز فکر من بود. و فکر من.
I am addicted to my thinking. My thinking, I think, is real. That's the illusion. That's what I habitually believe, that my thinking is real, and it's a lie.
من معتاد به افکارم بودم و اینی که فکر میکردم افکار من واقعی هستن و این یک دروغ و یک توهمه.
My past experiences make up my thoughts, my ideas that I have in life. And with that, if that's all I have, which that's all any of us have, with that, I figure out the future. Wow. It's past, it's future. And it's an addiction. And the only solution is living in the present moment. But I'm addicted to the past, the future, the past, the future.
و اینی که من اتفاقایی که در قبل برام افتاده یا خاطرات من به باعث این میشه که من یه سری ایده و طرز فکر داشته باشم راجع به زندگی، که این ایده ها و طرز تلقی ها زندگی منو در آینده شکل میده و من یه جورایی معتادم به اینی که در اون خاطرات و گذشته و تجربیات گذشته و یا در آینده زندگی بکنم، در حالی که باید در لحظه حال زندگی بکنم.
I'm fighting to save my life to stay in the present moment, the now. Freedom from my thinking, because my thinking is as destructive or more destructive than my drinking, as it turns out.
و من برای اینکه زنده بمونم و زندگیم رو حفظ بکنم با این تلاش میکنم که در لحظه حال باشم، برای اینکه بتونم از شر افکارم رها باشم و افکار من به مراتب از مشروب خوردن من کشنده تر و خطرناک تره.
There is a war between my thinking and freedom, and it's alive and well in me, and I can't even give in a little bit to my thinking, or it will take over. It will take over and it will ruin everything good. It will ruin my whole life.
و یک جنگ بزرگی بین فکر کردن من و آزادی من در جریانه و من حتی نمیتونم یک کوچیک کوتاه بیام در اینی که بدمش این جنگ رو به افکارم وگرنه کل زندگی من رو تباه میکنه.
It's in my mind. If I do not try with everything I have to shut off my thinking, or to at least, I can't shut my thinking off. It's pretty powerful. I can watch my thinking. I can be aware of my thinking. Sometimes I can even laugh at my thinking when my mind starts making up stories. It never stops. It wakes me up. I wake up and it starts. And sometimes I can even the mere act of a little chuckle of there you are acknowledges that I am not my thinking. Just a little separation that I'm not my thinking.
و اینی که من باید با تمام اون چی که در توان دارم سعی بکنم که این افکارم رو ساکت کنم یا حتی اگر نتونم ساکتش کنم بتونم نظارش بکنم، ازش آگاه باشم، حتی بتونم یه وقتایی بهش بخندم، چون این فکر منو بیدار میکنه و شروع میکنه به حرف زدن و دائم داره حرف میزنه و من حتی اگه یک کوچیک یک پوزخند بزنم که ای بابا باز تو شروع کردی، همون لحظه یک جدایی بین من و فکرم به وجود میاد و اون قدرت خودش رو از دست میده.
And it has been revealed to me, for me at this point, my seventh step is this addiction to my thinking. That I believe it. And if there is a feeling deep down, alcohol kept me from peace. It kept me. And now my thinking is doing it. And if I listen to my thinking, I'm going to be in a mental institution again. It's that bad for me. My head, my thinking. Is that bad? The world is too scary if I listen to my thinking. And the only peace I have found is in that first I laughed at my thinking. First I watched my thinking. Then I looked for that little gap of where I was watching my thinking from. And that's where I found some peace.
و اینی که من الان این چیزی که الان برام در این سن پاکی در این مقطع درک کردم از قدم هفت، این اعتیاد من به فکرمه و همون جوری که الکل میتونست آرامش رو از من بگیره، فکر کردن هم میتونه آرامش رو از من بگیره و میتونه منو بفرسته به دیوانه خونه اگه به فکرهای دروغیم بها بدم. و اون چیزی که به من امروز آرامش میده اینه که بتونم بخندم به افکارم و بتونم شاهدشون باشم و بعد از اینکه حالا بخندم بتونم به اون فاصله‌ای که من از اون دارم به افکارم نگاه میکنم آگاه بشم و اون جاست که من میتونم آرامش و امنیت رو حس بکنم.
in Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a something has been true to me. There was a famous past president that said he has been driven many times on his knees by the overwhelming conviction that he had nowhere else to go. And that has been very true for my life, my path, and what I do today.
Sorry, why did he go on his knees?
An overwhelming conviction of having nowhere else to go and just mm-hmm. crawling to this solution because there were no other options, not because it was glamorous or it was a good idea. We had nowhere else to go but mm-hmm. to go here.
Yeah, but this was a president that wasn't in AA.
This is, yeah, right. This is just a famous person.
Yeah. و یه چیزی که برای من هم اتفاق افتاده چیزی که یک آدم خیلی مشهوری و یک رئیس جمهوری در گذشته میگفتش که بارها و بارها فشار مسائلی در زندگیش اونو به زانو در آورده چون جای دیگری برای رفتن نداشته و این مسئله برای من هم صدق میکنه.
So I did AA because I had nowhere else to go. And now, while I'm still fighting for my life, and that's what drives me, pain, I do feel good when I do these things. But when I don't, I'm sick again.
و من هم وقتی اومدم به AA واقعا جای دیگه برای رفتن نداشتم و هنوز هم من برای زندگی می جنگم و این اصول رو انجام میدم و وقتی این اصول رو انجام میدم حالم خوبه و وقتی این اصول رو انجام نمیدم دوباره از لحاظ روحی بیمار میشم.
And I don't always want to help somebody or be inconvenienced by AA, but that's part of the triangle. That's the service part where I have to listen to somebody else. And you can help somebody with 30 days of sobriety. You don't have to have 22 years to help somebody. I began that journey early on by just giving somebody a pat on the back, just telling somebody it's going to be okay, even if I didn't believe it. But that was how I started, and it has served me.
و اینجوری هم نیستش که من همیشه دلم بخواد به آدم ها کمک بکنم و بعضی وقتا واقعا ممکن دلم نخواد ولی این یه قسمتی از مثلث بهبودی منه و قسمت خدمت که من حتی ما میتونیم با 30 روز پاکی هم خدمت بکنیم و من اون مسیر خدمت رو از همونجا شروع کردم که حتی فقط به پشت یه نفر بزنم و بگم بهتر میشه حتی با اینی که اون موقع خودم خیلی باور نداشتم و بله.
And I guess so for me, I think it's coming to an end. I think for me, what Alcoholics Anonymous did is it took a hopeless person, a hopeless situation to I'm mostly hopeful and mostly happy, but I have to work for it. I have to do the work.
و برای من اون کاری که الکلی‌های گمنام کرده که اینه که برای یه فردی که کاملاً هیچ امیدی براش نبود تبدیلش کرده به یک آدمی که بیشتر مواقع امیدوار و شاده ولی من باید براش زحمت بکشم و براش کار کنم.
And I want to thank you. And I want to thank you, and I wish everybody here the very best. I wish you sobriety, and I and I wish that I wish you have willingness, and I wish that you have an open mind, and I wish you the best.
و خیلی ازتون ممنونم، براتون هوشیاری رو آرزو میکنم و براتون اینی که تمایل به بهبودی داشته باشید و ذهن باز داشته باشید رو آرزو میکنم. Thank you very much, Janet.
Thank you.